Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's an all-pundit show from Carson City with Mary Lau, Warren Hardy, and John Sandy IV. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show coming to you from Carson City. On the pundit panel, Mary Lau, President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, Warren Hardy, Principal with the Hardy Consulting Group, and John Sandy, the fourth principal with Argentum Partners. Pleasure to have you all here. John, you were actually here for the interview with Michelle White and Scott Gillies. Give us your thoughts on that, on their comments on the innovation zones and blockchains.
Well, you covered a lot of topics in a very short period of time. I think I could have listened to some of those questions for an hour or two and still probably been left wanting more. I guess the thing that really took me and it wasn't surprising, though, is that, that their introductory comments on the concepts of innovation zones and really what's driving the governor's office is this need to diversify our economy. And, you know, I think coming through, obviously, the Great Recession, but now with COVID, this is twice now in a decade and a half that we've realized how reliant we are on gaming, and that if, you know, gaming gets a sneeze, the entire state gets a major cold. And their efforts in trying to put something forth is finding economic diversity and trying to incentivize new business to come to our state. And I think all of us would agree that's a laudable goal. Whether this, obviously an innovation zone is a very big idea, and it's gonna require a lot of conversation. And I'm sure we're all aware that the legislative session is winding down. I mean, we're two thirds of the way through. So, you know, there's, if we are gonna pursue this, boy, it's gonna be tight on time.
Yeah, Mary, I mean, the time factor, the bill has not even been presented yet. You know, at this point, do you feel with all the criticism that potentially the governor's office may be backing away a little on at least the blockchains version of this?
Well, he's got too many big things out there too. He's got his bank proposal and everything at the same time for the Biden dollars and everything. And they've got to see if the legislature is going to give up their control through IFC and allow it to just go through a banking prospect. It's not impossible to get done, but it's almost improbable to have a decent debate. I think that possibly getting more people involved, getting more conversation, should have been an interim study or something to begin with, to be this big and to give up governmental control to a technical company or technology company. It's a big ask.
Warren, one of the things we talked about with the chief of staff and the policy advisor was that we really don't need more diversification right now in Northern Nevada. We need 50,000 homes over the next 10 years, and we're not close to being at that level. And economic diversification for Southern Nevada, doesn't it really mean protecting the tax base? Because if anything hits the tourism industry, it's going to collapse, because that's what it's going to do. And as John said, we've seen that twice in the last decade. But other business would do what's happened in Northern Nevada, which would provide a continuity of a tax base from all these other businesses, that everything wouldn't collapse. Am I right on that?
Well, I think it's a two-pronged answer. So I think Northern Nevada has done an amazing job with their economic development and diversifying the economy. I think this whole state can look to Northern Nevada for the job they did there. But there's not a necessity there, because I think the Northern Nevada gaming industry was probably hit harder by the expansion of the gaming industry elsewhere more than Southern Nevada was. Obviously, we have to be very careful in Southern Nevada that we don't do anything to harm our base or our core economy, which is gaming, without question. But I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I think we can diversify the economy without harming gaming. Gaming is an island all to itself. Las Vegas will be, you know, there's entertainment parks, there's all over the world, but ultimately everybody wants to go to Disneyland. So no matter how much gaming grows in the United States, ultimately everybody wants to come to Vegas. And so I think it's a safe industry. I don't think we can do anything to really hurt it by economic diversification. So you're right about the housing. That needs to be a priority of everybody, because we've got to find a place where these folks to live before they can move to Nevada to work. But I don't worry about diversifying the economy in Southern Nevada somehow hurting our tax base or our primary industry, because I think they're pretty mutually exclusive.
Yeah, and I wasn't suggesting that diversification will hurt it. I actually think that it would be a buffer, so that if tourism takes a dive because of whatever thing that goes wrong, that the diversification would provide the tax dollars that wouldn't take care of everything, but at least would be a buffer, which Southern Nevada doesn't really have at this point, right, John?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that was about to my point about the Great Recession and now with COVID, is that when gaming goes down, I mean, the number of jobs that are lost, the number of unemployment, people that go on unemployment in the state skyrockets. And so I think the idea of diversifying the economy so that maybe COVID doesn't hurt it as much. People don't lose jobs because they're in an industry that is not reliant on human interaction or this or that. It might, who knows what the next crisis is. It's just, if we are more diverse in our offerings and for jobs and everything, that I think it stabilizes that base and we have more of a foundation, so we don't see these wild swings as much as we have experienced in the last two downturns.
Mary, one of the things that's kind of surprised me was with the crisis at Dieter, that their ask for upgraded computer equipment does not take them into the future. It's barely keeping up with where they are now. Shouldn't they be asking for full funding to get themselves prepared for the future, not where we are now or where we are last year?
Well, I'd have to ask you a question. Are you precognizant? Because I was just thinking about Dieter. It's like, we have so many things to fix in this state. And you're absolutely right. Our IT needs a big, big correction in all departments and everything. And it's almost like taking a pause to the point where we really need to fix the state, fix the services, and use some of the Biden bucks, I love that sentence, to do those things. Because Dieter really, really needs to think for the future and to plan to strengthen itself. I still have friends that has not gotten any unemployment money for over 6 months, and from when they originally filed 6 or 9 months ago, I'm not even sure anymore. So there's a lot of statewide problems, and then the wonderful opportunity to pause and fix it and bring us into a stronger state so we can handle some of this stuff.
Warren, what are your hopes and what are your fears, as Mary put it, for the Biden bucks that are coming, when the state has already received so much money already, and this is going to be billions of dollars on top of that?
Well, I think the challenge there is always, as it was in 2009 when we spent the stimulus money, the challenge is always not to spend it on ongoing programs. But I do think upgrade, and because trust me, Dieter's not the only place. I think DMV may be the only place where we've done a reasonably good job of keeping up with technology. The entire state is suffering with regard to being not getting up to date on our technology and our computer system. So I would love to see a chunk of money spent there. But I do, and I've spoken with members of the legislature, and I think they're aware of the fact that this money really can't be spent on ongoing programs. But that's always the challenge. You know, there's always a temptation to spend it on ongoing programs. So my hope will be spent on infrastructure, buildings, things that will create jobs and maintain jobs. But that's always going to be the challenge, to not spend it on programs.
You know, gentlemen.
Well, that's why we're in a special session too.
I'm sorry, please repeat that, Mary. I stepped on you there.
Oh, ouch. That's why we're going to have a special session. We have to have a special session for the Biden bucks, and we have to have a special session for redistricting, because we won't even get the numbers till September. So the legislature is going to be very busy.
To say the least. John, one of the issues that's not been discussed at this session, but I think should be, is cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, how much at risk are we here in Nevada? Ira Victa has been on the program many times saying that our back door or our front door is secure, but our back door is wide open. And you look at government itself, you look at infrastructure, utilities. Doesn't that concern you, and shouldn't it concern the legislators?
Absolutely. It should always be a concern. It should be front of mind. And I know we do a reasonably good effort. We do have commissions that study cybersecurity. But to your point, I mean, Dieter is a good example of that, is how far we are technologically from just being current with our software, with our hardware. And so how exposed is Dieter to fraud or cyber attacks? Probably pretty vulnerable. We definitely need to look at that. And, you know, to your question about Biden bucks, where do you want to see it? I think cybersecurity is probably very good, as well as the infrastructure. I mean, we got to, you know, move our state forward and position ourselves to be able to capitalize on the opportunity that's been given to us. And so we want to, I hope, invest in things that will help us grow. And to Warren's point, I think he's exactly right, is that, you know, obviously there's going to be an inclination to fund programs that have been cut because of COVID and the budget cuts that we've had. There's probably going to be a demand to put some of the money back into that, but hopefully we can resist that a little bit, and again, use that money that's going to help us move into the future.
And by the way, I got a letter a couple of months ago saying that Samuel Shad had applied for unemployment. And I had to respond and tell them, no, actually, I didn't, because I'm the one that owns the company. So fraud right there. Let's take a break. We'll come back with this great panel after this timeout.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com, tollsdevelopment.com.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with our great pundit panel today. Mary Lau is here, Warren Hardy, and John Sandy IV. One of the things that you'd mentioned you'd like to talk about was the reopening of counties. What are your hopes and concerns there?
Well, the hopes are obviously that we're turning the page, and you know, we've been living with COVID and social distancing and CDC regulations for over a year now. I think this is the first real glimpse of us getting through the tunnel and an opportunity for us to get back to some normalcy. So May 1st, both our largest counties are looking to substantially reduce the requirements, allow for increased gatherings, reducing social distancing requirements. I think it's a great first step. You ask concerns, obviously, in a COVID world, we're always concerned about the spread and you know, some of these mutated strains of COVID that are out there. I mean, is the vaccine gonna protect us from those mutations? And those are always concerns, but I'm personally really excited for May 1st and then ultimately June 1st and moving into this summer to start making some plans with the family. So I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I've already got tickets booked.
Yeah.
Mary, the one thing that's not being lifted at this point, even on the June 1st date at this time, is the mask mandate. Do you think that that is something that is coming specifically from Nevada, or is that more based on the federal rules, do you think?
I think it's CDC rules at this point, and it's a little unfortunate because with the allergens right now, everybody wearing masks, it's all dripping. You almost have to change your mask constantly, and it's causing a lot of eye problems because you do get the dry eye. So, I mean, it's six of one, half a dozen. They're right or wrong, good or bad right now. That's what we're dealing with. So I think more and more people are not wearing their masks as often until they go into an establishment that requires it. I see more and more people on the street breathing without a mask.
Yeah, and you know, Warren, I think that probably half the population, and I'm guessing, of course, but half the population is going to continue to wear masks even when restrictions are lifted, just out of concern.
I think that's right. I mean, and I think that kind of goes to the point of where we need to ultimately get on this, and that is where people take responsibility based on their own risk level. And I think you know, Clark County at least has got a plan in place to sort of move us past all mm-hmm. of this. And I think Commissioner Kirkpatrick's done an amazing job through all this as our lead on that. But yeah, ultimately we're gonna have to get to personal responsibility and decisions that individuals make based on their family's risk.
You may all want to take a pass on this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Mayor Goodman came out and took another shot at Governor Sisolak, saying that his lifting of the restrictions was political, not medical. What is the basis of this feud between those two?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I would shy away if I had the answer to that. You know, obviously, Mayor Goodman has taken some pretty controversial stances and has criticized the governor vocally and often. I mean, the question I would have is, you know, why can't it be both? The science is definitely proving that the vaccine seems to be working. The rates are coming down substantially. I know for a fact Governor Sisolak has no intention on keeping us in this state of emergency in perpetuity, that we all want to get to some sense of normalcy. I think people can reasonably disagree on what needs to occur to you know, reduce the protections that we have in place, and that's where, you know, reasonable people can argue. But I think that it's important for our gaming industry, as we've already talked, how vital that is to our state, that they're able to start attracting visitors and getting them to come back before other states and other cities start taking those same, you know, tourist dollars and bring them into their own communities. It's time for us to take some action and be a leader in that.
Well, the reports that are coming to me, Mary, from Southern Nevada are that the Strip is packed, and that Southwest Airlines has lifted the restrictions on center seats, And so it seems like a lot of that is already coming back. But let me ask you, Mary, about the state of emergency. Are you surprised that the legislators have not pushed back and looked at how long a governor can maintain a state of emergency without consulting the legislature?
No, not really, because I don't think anybody wants to handle this hot potato. And right now we're in such an unusual time politically anyway. It's, you know, politics of disagreement, politics of punishment, politics of just snarkiness, that I don't think picking a fight with the governor's office saying we want more control over something that is not controllable is on the political agenda from anybody. I agree with Warren about Marilyn Kirkpatrick. She's just been a rock star. And since she is a policy person, she absolutely is following the rules. And she's saying 80% in 3 feet is good when Clark County opens. And the pictures at the LVRJ has showed the strip has been packed for a long time. So if I was in the office and I had to push a button, it would be like, you keep it, Gov. And I don't think limiting the powers is appropriate, because at a certain point in time, this has been horrible. I will admit it. What if it was worse? And you had a rule that said, okay, now legislature, we pass the ball to you.
Something to think about. Let's take another break. We'll be right back.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at NevadaHeating.com.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our All Pundits show with Mary Lau, President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, Warren Hardy, Principal with the Hardy Consulting Group and a former state senator, and John Sandy, the fourth principal with Argentum Partners. Warren, you're representing UNLV in the land grant issue that Governor Sandoval is opposing. Give us a quick background and where this is heading, because it seems like kind of an ugly fight.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sam. Actually, I'm not representing UNLV. I'm representing a non-profit group called the Council for a Better Nevada. But land grant status is a very confusing issue for a lot of people. In reality, the land grant status for any state is very significant in terms of accessing federal grants, accessing federal grants without state matching funds, no less. But it's also sort of commingled with the cooperative extension program, which causes UNR a lot of concern. So we've crafted a bill really this session that for once finally puts into statute what legal scholars have agreed with, the Attorney General in 1969 the NG's attorney this time, the Legislative Council Bureau, all agree that the land grant institutions are the University of Nevada. And the University of Nevada is made up of UNR, UNLV, and DRI. So this legislation will put that into statute, finally ending the question. There was some concerns about, from the Governor Sandoval and UNR about how that might impact, immediately impact the cooperative extension at UNR. So we introduced an amendment to sort of hold that harmless until the new chancellor has an opportunity to do a study to make sure that it doesn't impact UNR's programs, and to make sure that the money is equitably shared and makes sense. Because the last thing we want to do is disrupt what's happening in cooperative extension right now. I hate, this is not the Marilyn Kirkpatrick show, but she got on the cooperative extension, has done a wonderful job there for Southern Nevada. And so we don't want to disrupt that. But what we do want is that for UNLV and DRI to be able to pursue these federal grants that are associated with a land grant designation. And that's simply and clearly what the bill does. There's still some opposition to it, I think, from Governor Sandoval. That's regrettable because we're really trying not to impact UNR, but there's no reason UNLV and DRI should be held at a disadvantage.
Okay, and I got to cut you off there because you have no idea what 2 minutes is and you just went past the clock here. So I'm going to thank everybody for doing this show. It was a terrific show. Thank you all very much, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next broadcast, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. See you then.